Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, that cyber attack on the health service will have the latest. The head of Dublin City Council tells us why crowds will not be allowed to party in Portobello this weekend. Bertie Ahern on the election of a new leader of the DUP. Donegal chef Brian McDermott eases us into summer food with simple ways to lighten up our meals. All your questions on COVID and pregnancy answered this morning too. Our experts are ready, so get your queries into us this morning. You can text them to 51551. Email todaycb@rte.ie or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. But first, as you've been hearing, the HSE has been targeted in what they describe as a very sophisticated, human-operated ransomware attack on its IT systems. Outpatient appointments have been affected and hospitals and other HSE services have experienced significant disruption. Now, we understand that no ransom demand has been made yet. In a moment, I'll be speaking to consultant Donal O'Shea. But first, I'm joined by Ciara O'Brien, technology journalist with the Irish Times, and also Ronan Murphy, CEO of Smart Tech. Ciara, good morning to you. Firstly, what's the latest information you have on this attack on the HSE?
Well, it's an evolving situation, but as we know it, at the moment, the attack began overnight. It's the type of attack that encrypts to and steals data. So the HSE took the action to take all their IT systems down to stop it from going any further. Now, they've said that patient data is safe, but obviously taking down those systems means that any hospital systems that depend on that data, such as electronic patient records, they're now inaccessible, which has led to the cancellation of appointments and some disruption across the system. Now, obviously, you know, these ransomware attacks, it's not somebody playing about. This is a sophisticated attack. So typically what they do is they encrypt data or they block access to services until a ransom is paid. Now, there hasn't been any ransom demand made yet, but even paying that ransom demand doesn't mean that you're going to get access to your data. Okay. So what we do know is that critical systems aren't affected.
That's just what I was going to ask you, and that's really important for people to know that patient safety is not compromised, because what's been targeted here is patient information. Isn't that right, Ciara?
Yes, it's data rather than those critical equipment and systems that people would be dependent on in ICU. Now, obviously, people would be concerned about that, but the information we have at the moment is this is data rather than services. So, obviously, you know, the testing systems, getting information on that, you know, that they're still assessing what the impact will be, say, on COVID testing results and COVID testing referrals. But for the moment, you know, if somebody is in ICU, all those systems are run separately from this particular data system.
Okay, Ronan, can I bring you in here? Ronan Murphy, CEO of Smart Tech. Are you surprised that a ransom demand hasn't been made at this stage, and would you expect one to be coming sooner rather than later?
Hi, Claire. I don't have any specifics on the actual attack, but typically in probably 99% of all ransomware cases, the ransom is automated within the actual encryption. So once the encryption takes place and you access the files, you get an automated message. It's not typically like some guy is going to ring you up on Saturday evening and say, oh, by the way, you owe $20 million to decrypt your data. And as I said, I don't have specifics, but I have not seen a scenario before where it's not already automated and built into the encryption as it takes place.
So would you say that this is a sophisticated attack? As Ciara said, this is not someone messing around here.
So the sophistication, I guess to a degree, ransomware is relatively sophisticated, but this stuff is mainstream, right? It's hitting government, it's hitting health services, it's hitting private companies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Only last week, one of the biggest pipelines in North America was taken offline by ransomware. So ransomware is very prevalent. It's a problem that governments and industry have been wrestling with. It's getting more sophisticated in its ability to get onto people's networks. But I would say that the typical encryption of data isn't overly sophisticated, no.
Okay. And Ciara, the HSE boss Paul Reid said earlier on Morning Ireland that many systems are standalone. Will you explain why that might be an advantage in the face of this kind of a situation?
Well, obviously, if systems are connected, you know, these ransomware attacks, as Ronan said there, they are getting more sophisticated. Whereas before, we used to see people would click a link and it would infect their computer. Now they can basically replicate themselves and infect whole servers. So the more connected your systems are, you know, the more vulnerable they are. And while you can take steps to kind of protect yourself against these attacks, we are kind of a lot of the time playing catch up with ransomware attacks because, you know, these are criminal enterprises. And, you know, while they are becoming more and more widespread, you know, that they are, I suppose, in a way that, you know, the actual deployment of them can be quite sophisticated. Obviously, it depends on the attack. But yeah, the more linked your systems are, the more vulnerable they are. And, you know, this is why it's so important for companies and organizations to take cybersecurity seriously and to take these steps to make sure that they limit their exposure to these attacks.
And Ronan, you have dealt with these types of people before who carry out these attacks, and indeed you've had to pay the ransoms on behalf of companies who have been the victims.
Yeah, many times. As early as last week, I was dealing with a gang in St. Petersburg where we were negotiating on behalf of a client who was a victim of this type of extortion. And I think probably most worryingly in this type of scenario is that the evolution you're seeing with ransomware was typically what ransomware would do is it would extort your data. And in 95% of cases, it encrypts your data rather. The difference you're now seeing is that the new strains of ransomware, they actually exfiltrate your data, meaning they take your data out. Now, I'm not saying that's happened with the HSE because, as I said, we do not have specifics, mm-hmm. but it's becoming more high-stakes poker where these guys are not only encrypting, but they're also taking that data out and then blackmailing you to get the data back. And that really does increase the stakes when it comes to the damage that these guys can do.
So you're often, as an organisation, just backed into a corner here?
You're backed into a corner. You've hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you look at the Colonial Pipeline, they ended up paying $5 million to these guys. If I were having this conversation with you, Claire, 12 months ago, I would be saying to you, you know what, you need a backup, and a backup is sufficient. It's a different kettle of fish when they've got your data, and that data could be intellectual property, it could be patient data, it could be employee data, it could be very confidential data. And when they blackmail you to dump that on the public internet, that's a completely different type of negotiation. And that's probably what you're seeing as a consequence of that, and this is a really important point, is that the price of cryptocurrency has exploded. These guys are making a ton of money and they're resourcing up their capability to deploy these attacks because of the amount of cash they're making.
And what kind of money are they looking for then when they make their demands?
They were looking for $25 million from Colonial. They got $5 million. There was an attack the week before that where they got $12 million. I would estimate they're making probably in the region of about $500 million a year at this.
Okay, it's just an extraordinary situation for a company to find themselves in where you're having to pay and therefore funding, arguably, the next attack.
Exactly. And that's the $64 million question. That's the dilemma. Do we pay and do we, give these guys the wherewithal, the resources to build their criminal enterprises even more so? Or do we not pay and deal with the consequences of either not having our data or potentially having that data dumped on the internet?
Okay, Ronan Murphy from Smart Tech and Ciara O'Brien from the Irish Times. Thank you both. I just want to find out how this is affecting things today within the HSE. Donal O'Shea, consultant endocrinologist at St. Columbkills Hospital in Loughton's Town, is on the line. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
How did you find out about this?
Well, we have an 8 o'clock morning meeting and some people access that remotely. And at 8:05, only the remote people were on and nobody from within the hospital where it was on. So a phone call to one of the people in the hospital and they were unable to access Microsoft Teams or Zoom. And the news of the attack was just breaking out.
Okay.
So and it's obviously an unfolding situation because that's only a couple of hours ago. You know, all the staff are in the hospital, so looking after the patients, and the point has been made that clinical systems haven't been targeted. But if you can't access your computer, then getting on to look at results is impossible. Before long, there are going to be clinical implications for it. I think it also, I work in two hospitals, St. Vincent's Hospital, which is a voluntary hospital, and St. Columbkills, which is a HSE hospital. And the voluntary hospitals will be less affected than HSE hospitals. The private hospitals will be less affected again. So there's going to be a kind of a differential impact of it. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, I was due to be at the launch of the Healthy Weight for Children strategy at midday. That has had to be cancelled because it was a webinar, a HSE webinar. It's been rescheduled for 2 weeks' time. So, but, you know, to say it's not going to have an effect clinically is wrong, because we've had to cancel some of the virtual clinic appointments we were due to have this morning for some of the people attending our obesity service.
So the outpatient clinics are gone for today?
The vast majority, people who were due to come up and do face-to-face, you know, real appointments, they will still come up, I think, and in some cases clinics will go ahead. But anything that was due to happen virtually, or anything that the system is electronically, electronic patient record based, won't happen. And, you know, for example, St. James's have been pioneering Project Oak, which is the total electronic patient record. And in that scenario, an attack like this, which, you know, I'm not a computer kind of expert, but this is like traditional hijacking back in the 70s and 80s, and except it's data, not people on a plane. And you know, it's the same decisions that have to be made. Do you give in to the demands? And all the repercussions are the same. I mean, it's incredibly stark.
And what contact have you had from the HSE, or instruction have you had in relation to all of this, Donal?
Well, a message has just gone round to say if you have turned on your laptop, turn it off. And, you know, that they're trying to deal with this attack, and it's important that, you know, any HSE computer is turned off. And otherwise, it's, you know, it's not an emergency situation. I think it's an emergent situation that we need to all just do our jobs, look after the patients who are in under our care and in the inpatient setting. And I guess any time you cancel outpatients at short notice, you have extra time because you've cancelled the clinics, but you have to look at the people who were there, who are due to come, and say, well, are there any of these individuals who might need, you know, us to contact them today? Because, you know, they're if we had their results, or, you know, in the case of the maternity setting, they were a particularly high risk. You know, the cancelled clinics, we know, lead to problems if they're not managed. But we're kind of getting used to managing now that mix of virtual face-to-face and telephone clinic over the last year because of the COVID situation.
Yes, but of course it's the remote appointments that are affected. Good luck getting through the day, Donal. Thanks very much for joining us. Dr. Damien Lowry is Senior Counselling Psychologist at the Mater Hospital. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Did you get that message as well, to switch everything off?
I haven't, no, but Donal did mention that there's a differentiated level of disruption, and he mentioned one of the hospitals he works in as well being a voluntary hospital. So I also work in a voluntary hospital here in the Mater, and a lot of our internal systems appear to remain operational, but it's a disconnection between, you know, the internal systems, and the internet has effectively been taken offline as a precautionary measure, just to, I guess, figure out what's going on and minimise any risk or mitigate any against any further fallout.
So no internet access from the Mater Hospital, and your email, is that working?
Internally, yes, but externally, no.
Okay, so how has this affected your work then this morning, Damien?
Well, the main fallout, Claire, has been the cancellation of a webinar on living with long COVID, and it was a comprehensively organised webinar. 260 people or so had registered for it, including healthcare workers working with individuals affected by long COVID, and also patients in the community and attending hospitals who also have long COVID syndromes of one kind or another. And it's been months in the planning, It was scheduled to commence at 9 o'clock with a welcome and introduction from our CEO, Alan Sharp. And it was an interdisciplinary day, so we had ID consultants, people affected personally and giving personal accounts of long COVID. We had three psychologists as part of the organising committee to contribute, physiotherapists, occupational therapists.
So that's all gone.
So that had to be cancelled, yes. But we are hopeful of it being reorganised now for later this month, 28th.
Right. So this, like I mean, this is just incredibly frustrating across the board, listening to yourself and Donal there. It's affecting in real time the work that you do.
It is. It is. Obviously, look, there has been a fallout. There's no denying it. That said, I do like to identify the silver linings too. And in our case, at least in terms of the webinar, it perhaps buys us a little bit more time to slot one or two additional disciplines in that we hadn't quite gotten lined up in time for this particular webinar. So when it does come around again, we'll have an even more comprehensive lineup, hopefully.
Right. Hopefully you'll be back. You'll be back soon, bigger and better than you had planned for today. Damien, thanks very much for talking to us. Dr. Damien Lowry, Senior Counselling Psychologist at the Mater Hospital. Coming up, we are going to be discussing why Dublin City Council has decided to close Portobello Plaza this weekend with the CEO, the Chief Executive of Dublin City Council, Eoghan Keegan.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.